comes to the Sea of Galilee and he sees these two ships standing, but Peter and Andrew and James and John are out and they're washing their nets, and he gets into Peter's boat and asks him to thrust it out a little bit so he could preach the Word of God to people. And I like that. Amen. How about that? Having a ship for a pulpit, Brother Brian. Amen. And there's a great thought there in that text. Can Jesus use your boat? Amen. Can Jesus use your boat? Can you Jesus use what you have? I got thinking about it, and again, we've mentioned it again, but Brother Brian setting up this softball in prison, that God could take a silly game like softball and win people unto Himself through that. Whatever your talent is, and I know so many people have so many different talents. I think of the good work in our church that Brother Tom Sammons does with our computers and things like that, things I just have no idea about. Thank God we're supposed to surrender ourselves and our time and our talents and our treasure to the Lord. Amen. And Peter does that here, allows the Lord to use his boat. And but then the Lord comes to him, and if we could, just by way of an outline here, our points start with R tonight. He gives some requests. He gives two requests, as a matter of fact. The first one, he says, is in verse 3. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. The first request here as he gives is to thrust out, and look, and you see why it says, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Can we say about that, that for Jesus to thrust out, that was an inconvenient request? Verse 2 tells us why that was an inconvenient request. It says, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, were washing their nets. I've had the privilege, my wife's had the privilege, we've lived in New England almost all of our lives, and we've seen the fishermen coming and going. And let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, fishermen are busy people. They get up early, amen, they head out early. They bring in that payload, and they here they were. Here was Andrew and Peter and James and John, and they were washing their nets, and all of a sudden the stranger from Galilee comes and says, hey, thrust that boat out a little bit for me, would you? It was an inconvenient request. Can I say sometimes when the Lord asks us to do something, it's a little inconvenient, isn't it? Amen? I remember the first time I ever taught a Sunday school class. I was new to a church, and of course you heard Pastor Tharp tell the story. My hair was from here to Coldwater Prison, according to hear him tell the story. Amen. And no, but it was long, and I got it cut when the Holy Spirit convicted me about it. By the way, not when some Pharisee got in my face and told me about it. Praise God, no, none did in our church back home. Amen. By the way, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Let Him do the convicting. Amen. And I remember I got my hair cut and started being more faithful. And Pastor Tharp said, hey, we're losing a teacher. I wonder if you'd consider teaching a Sunday school class. And I said, teach? No. And then Brother Blonky, he did what all preachers do. He said, would you pray about it? Now, I have never, ladies and gentlemen, if I ask you to pray about teaching a Sunday school class, mark it down, you're reeled in, amen? Because I've never known somebody that truly prayed about the need of helping young people that didn't do it, amen? And so I began to pray about it, and I thought, after about 2 weeks of praying about it, I said, why am I even praying about this? There's a need, I can meet it, Lord, and of course that was the Lord saying, go ahead, teach it. But it was first through third grade boys. Almost all bus kids. Okay? Now, I know our kids are ornery sometimes. Amen? I have two ornery ones. But these kids just didn't know how to act. Amen? And our class was outside. And let me just tell you, our class was all over the place outside. Hey, come over here. Hey, come back over here. Hey, come over. And I was trying to teach that class. And let me just tell you something. That was a bit of an inconvenient request that the Lord gave. But looking back now, 14 years later, I'm glad the Lord asks us to do some inconvenient things. I'm glad He stretches us a little bit. Amen. So the first request was to thrust out. It was inconvenient. Could we say this? It seemed insignificant. verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. I mean, what's the big deal? Fishermen do this all the time, just taking the boat basically and just pushing it out a little bit from land. Well, just imagine somebody to hear the Word of God from the Son of God for the first time just because of a seemingly insignificant request. Can I tell you that a gospel tract is a seemingly insignificant item? Amen? Isn't it? Isn't a little email that you may send to a lost person with a little scripture verse on it, doesn't that seem a little insignificant? Not very big? Praise God for that seed that germinates that can change the whole world, the Word of God. Amen. And that's what happened through this insignificant request. It was not only inconvenient, insignificant, but something that we could see very, very clearly is it was an important request. It was an important request. Why? Because it tested Peter's obedience, first of all. Bob Jones Sr. said this, God will use the thermometer of obedience to test the temperature of love. And Bob Jones Sr. was exactly right. There are times when I want my children to obey just because I am their father. Amen? To show love. And so it tested Peter's obedience, but as we've already stated, that important request, it allowed people to hear the Word of God. Can I tell you the application to this point of the request here, is that this request thrust out is, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get in the habit of obeying in the little things. Amen? He who obeys in the little things can be trusted with the bigger things. And we ought to get in the habit that if Jesus says it, hallelujah, we're going to do it. Amen. We're going to just resolve to be obedient in the little things. We've said it before, say it again. The player doesn't tell the coach what to do. The coach tells the player what to do. I told Tommy that when I joined the softball team. I said, Coach, tell me what you want me to do. You're the coach. You're in charge. Hey, we need to let God know. You know, God's in charge whether we let Him know or not. But I think He likes hearing, Lord, You're in charge. Please, show me. Help me to be obedient in the little things. You know, prayer's a little thing, isn't it? By the way, is it easy to pray every day? No, it's not. Things come up, all kinds of things. But you know, God wants us to be obedient in those little things. He told us to pray without ceasing. Amen. Is it easy to read your Bible every day? No, but it's a little thing and it adds up. It adds up. God wants us to be obedient in the little things. So the first request He gives is to thrust out. The second request He gives is in verse 4. It says, Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep. So first it was thrust out, and then launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Can I say about this request? This was an illogical request. This was an illogical request. Look at verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You say, why was it illogical? These were good fishermen, ladies and gentlemen. They didn't just fish for trade, they fished for food too. When you're doing something for food, like say you're a hunter, okay? And I know we have some hunters here, okay? Imagine if you don't get that deer, you don't eat. Let me tell you something, you'll become a pretty good shot. Amen? You'll become a pretty good hunter. I happen to think that Peter and Andrew and James or John were pretty good fishermen and knew what they were doing. And here comes Jesus, says, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. It was an illogical request. Can I say the application here is, when it doesn't make sense, just believe Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we go through the Christian life and we know what's right, but things aren't they're just not coming together and it doesn't make any sense. I think about the person who's hurting financially, Pastor John, but tithes. I think of that person. Think of that person that says, how, this doesn't make any sense for me. I'm hurting financially. It doesn't make any sense for me to try to live on 90. Listen, when it doesn't make sense, just keep obeying God. Because when you obey God, it pleases God, and God moves on your behalf. Amen. It was an illogical request to launch out. It was an inconvenient request to thrust out, an insignificant, but it was important. We see the requests. Secondly, I want you to notice, if you would, in verse 5, the resignation. Not only the requests, but the resignation. Verse 5. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Four things Peter resigned from in this text. He resigned from his own wisdom, didn't he? He could have said, hey, excuse me, Rabbi, we know where the fish are. Trust me. We fill up these boats every day. We know what we're doing. Thank you very much for your kind advice. But he didn't do that, did he? He had to forsake his own wisdom. You know, there are times when this book and our wisdom disagree. Yeah, they're called paradoxes. To achieve victory according to this book, you need, know what you need to do? Surrender. Try that on the battlefield. See how that works for you. Amen? No, this right here, this book is right. This book is right. And when our wisdom and God's wisdom disagree, let's just believe God. Amen? Let's just believe God. Let's just trust God. So he had to resign his wisdom. Something else he had to resign at the time was he had to resign from the work he was doing. He was washing his nets. He was busy. We talked about that already. He had to resign from his wisdom. He had to resign from his work. Something else he had to resign from or give into. He had to resign from his weariness. Brother Heath had said he had toiled all the night. Ever toil all the night in a fishing boat? I'm getting sick just thinking about it. Amen. Oh, anytime they had deep sea fishing out in New England, I said, have a good time, fellas. I'll be praying for you. No, thank you. He had to resign from his weariness. You know, sometimes God will ask us to do things in our weariness. I can tell you yesterday, somebody was asking, Pastor, how come you weren't at mud football yesterday? You should have been at mud football yesterday. Give me a hard time. And I thought about it. And honestly, it was because I promised the Bostons I would do the bus calls. And I didn't get home from the prison till 5 o'clock or whatever. And let me just tell you something. There was a great temptation going on in my mind, Brother Sammons, about just making the phone calls. Could have just made the phone calls. But I said, you know what? I told Brother Boston I'm doing it. Those kids are expecting me. I need to go. It was about 7 o'clock, and we went out and made the bus calls. And I was tired, amen? Some of you get home, and you're tired. Some of you get home, I think especially you precious people at Wednesday nights, you get home, and you just get in home to literally shovel something in. You may not even have time to change. And by the way, I'm not checking ties on Wednesday night, amen? Don't worry about that. You may get home and I don't even have time to change and you come and you, despite your weariness, you resign to the fact that, hey, I need to be in the house of God. Praise the Lord for that. He resigned his wisdom and his work and his weariness, but really what he really resigned was his will, wasn't it? His will. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. The application here is simply this. When you give up, give in to Him. Amen? Give up what you want and what you think and what you want to do and give in to Him. Can I say that the key to the Christian life, the key to the Christian life, the very key is in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Let's go there. Hold your place in Luke. We're coming back. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Paul nails this down, this idea of surrender. You say, well, I thought the verse on surrender, Pastor Rich, was in Romans 12, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Absolutely. Sure. We need to do that. But how do we do that? Verse 13 of Romans chapter 6 says, Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But here's the key, ladies and gentlemen. If you mark verses, you ought to mark this verse. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Yield yourselves. It means to give in. When we see the yield sign, what do? We just blow through it? No, we look, make sure nobody's coming, and when it's safe, we go. You know what we need to do? We need to say, God, I'm yielding myself to you. That's what Peter did here. In his resignation, he yielded himself to God despite his wisdom, despite the work he had to do, despite his weariness, and despite his will. He yielded himself unto God. Back to Luke. Not only do we have the requests, not only do we have the resignation. Number three, we see the reward. We see the reward. It does pay to serve Jesus. It does pay to serve Jesus. It's not the reason we serve Him. We serve Him. We love Him because He first loved us. But it does pay to serve Jesus. Verse number 6. And when they had this done, what was that? When they had obeyed the Lord and did what He said, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in their other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Let me just say something. That's a lot of fish. Amen. I can't imagine it. I try to think about these things logically, and I think of how they toiled all night. And I wonder if the Lord told all the fish to just sit right up against all the rocks so that they couldn't be caught. Or if he said, okay, they're going to the left and all the fish moved to the right. I don't know what happened. But then when Jesus said, okay, boys, get into the net. Amen. Every one of those fish got into the net. You know, something that we see that's rewarded here. We see success in verse 6. We see surprise in verse 7. Hey, get over here quick. You're not going to believe this. How many times have we said that? I was talking yesterday. I mentioned this morning. I was talking to Brother Isaac White on the bus on the way home. Brother Brian was driving, and we were just sitting there talking. He said, Pastor, we made a huge commitment to missions last year. He said, I promise you, I'm not bragging. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it was something that we knew we couldn't meet, no matter if we lived on Chef Boyardee and little hot dogs and those things. He said, we just, no matter what, we couldn't meet it. But I believe God wanted us to. And he said, God has grown our company by 240% this year. Amen? That's a good thing. He's talking about it. Just surprise broke out on his face. You know, it's funny. When God comes through, it really shouldn't surprise us, should it? It does, though. I mean, we're human, and Peter here was surprised at the success. But really, the reward that we get from God, we have that idea of not only success and surprise, but submission. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. What was the key to the reward? It was Peter's submission. It was the fact that he said, You said it, Lord, that's good enough for me. I'll do it. I'll do it. We see requests. We see resignation. We see reward. Number 4, we see reverence. We see reverence. Can we say this in our application of reward? God always rewards obedience. Always. Sometimes obeying the Lord is its own reward. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, if a young person decides that they're going to stay pure until marriage, you know what that is? That's its own reward. They'll never get a disease. They'll never have an unwanted pregnancy. Say amen. They'll never have any of that. If a young person decides, you know what, I've heard Pastor John preach, and I've heard my mom and dad teach, and I've heard Pastor Rich say, never touch a drop of liquor. That's its own reward. That's its own reward. Why? Because that person's not going to be in the hospital getting a liver transplant because they kept themselves clean and pure. Amen? It's a reward unto itself to obey the Lord. But Jesus always, always rewards obedience. We see lastly, number four, we mentioned already, reverence. We see reverence. Verse number 8, we see the confession. When Simon Peter saw it, he said, fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. We've mentioned this many times. The closer you get to God, the more you see your sinfulness. If you think you got this sin in your life and it's just no big deal, it's because you're farther from the Lord than you think you are. Because the closer you get to the Lord, the more humble you become. The more you see yourself as a sinner. Why? Because everything, the light manifests. Amen. John said that in John 1:1, or John chapter 1, verse 19. It said that when the light's turned on, amen, those that love darkness, they flee from the light. But oh, how we ought to allow the light of the Word of God to show us our sinfulness, that we could draw closer to Him. We see the reverence confession. We see a conversion in verse 10. It says, and so also was James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Moved him in verses 10 and 11. It says in verse number 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's their commission, isn't it? They forsook all and followed him and were about to embark on three of the most incredible years that any human beings have ever been privileged to have. But there is a reverence there. Ladies and gentlemen, I think about churches that were maybe open this morning, but they have no Sunday evening service. It's the modern Christianity. We don't need a pulpit. We don't even really need a preacher. We just kind of need somebody to share a little bit. And if you bring a Bible or not, or a hymnal, we don't need that. We can pop it right up there on the screen. Like I said, they're not having church tonight. They're not having church tonight. One of the things that's missing in that movement is a reverence for what God said. Because God said we're not supposed to love the world or the things of the world. We're not supposed to use the worldly methods to bring in the crowd, the rock band, the praise team, all that. I think what's really, really missing is that reverence for what God said and a reverence for His holiness. Ladies and gentlemen, God is holy. He's holy. He's not our buddy. He's not, forgive me, the old man in the sky. He's not. He's not the man upstairs. He is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, holy God. I think Peter caught it. He caught who that was. He fell down at his feet and said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Jesus said, no, 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 I've got a plan for you. But where did it all start? It all started up there in verse 5. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. It's a great phrase to mark in your Bible. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. Well, I've got other plans. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Well, what about? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. We just need to do what Jesus says. Amen. And by the way, obedience increases faith. And faith, and we're going to preach here in a couple weeks on the fruits of faith. The fruits of faith. How we can see faith blossoming in our lives and building and becoming larger. And that's a good thing. Amen. Good to build your faith. How we need to do that. But it all started here with a resignation. Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Can you think of another time in the Bible that somebody said, "Not my will, but thy will be done"? I think it was the Lord Himself. As He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the sins of the world were laid on Him and He began to sweat the great drops of blood and He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Hey, let's have that attitude, ladies and gentlemen. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, You can use me if You want to use me. If You want to use me in this ministry or that ministry, or if You want to use me to just be a faithful witness and pass out tracts and give to the work of God, if You want to use me, I'm here to be used. That's what Peter said. "Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will." Let's bow our heads.